show, Five Star Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Mark. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating.
This segment is sponsored by Thinking Man Tavern, a cozy Decatur neighborhood pub. Grab a tasty beverage from a wide variety of selections and a plate of something delicious from the menu. To go, check out Thinking Man Tavern.
Welcome to another Five Stripe Weekly episode. And before we get started, just a reminder that we have our Patreon. It's that new season, and it's a new season for our Patreon as well. Join us at patreon.com/ATLUTDFanTV. We have some fun things planned for the 2022 season, so we will see you there. But moving on into the news, and yeah, the friendlies have started preseason matches, and LA United played the Georgia Storm at the training grounds, and Tyler Wolf and Jackson Conway scored in that match. It was a 2-0 win, and yeah, you know, you saw a little bit of the new gray training kits as well. What did you think of those training kits, Mark?
didn't really excite me. It's fine, I guess.
Yeah, it harkens back to maybe like yesteryear a little bit. Maybe like the 2018 version that's has a little bit more interesting kind of like trim, but just a little bit darker. That one was to this one, I think, or the other way around. Either way, but. That starting 11 for that match was Guzan, McFadden, Campbell, Franco, Gutman, Alonso, Hosetu, Araujo, Wolf, Centeno, which was our new super draft pick, and Conway. And of course, they kind of siphoned in and out, kind of during the match, to give some minutes to some of the kind of more fringe players in the squad. Building up that match fitness. It was 2 30-minute halves. But you also saw, because Andrew Carlton does also play for the Georgia Storm, so there was a little bit of that. Always interesting when he returns. Moving on to our other friendly, which just happened today. We're filming this on a Sunday after that friendly as well in Athens at Turner. It was a 4-0 win over the Georgia Revolution. And that starting 11 was Guzan, McFadden, Campbell, Franco, Gutman, Alonso, Hosetu, Ibarra, Araujo, Wolf, and Conway. And definitely to see Alonso in his first start there, and Ibarra, and also, basically Araujo was, showing what he's made of, and, just that tremendous skill and ability and that work rate. He had a goal and an assist. Wolf also got on the score sheet, Campbell as well, and super draft picks in Centeno and Bloyu got, kind of linked up, and Bloyu got on the score sheet with a header from across from Centeno. But you also saw a little bit of the mint away kit that was on some hoodies on the bench on some players. So definitely eventful indeed this match. But what are some takeaways from this one that we actually got to see for this one?
I think right away, looking at the lineup, I think you're starting to get a sense of maybe how Pineda wants to set up. I think it's distinctly a four at the back, a 4-3-3, it appears, right? Mm-hmm. I definitely noticed Alonso getting the start. And you figure that's going to be Sosa's position. But I think it's also smart to get Alonso the minutes now so that, when we need him in the season, he'll be not starting from scratch, right? He'll be at least somewhat somewhat ready to go. I think Gutman as well. And we'll talk about the Bello news, but obviously now a little more attention is going to be on him. had a solid season last year for Red Bulls, so hopefully he can replicate that with the United. I think he had an assist in this one, if I remember correctly. So, I think, yeah, so, you know, promising. Of course, preseason, you know, you don't want to get too caught up in the stats of it all, but I will say I think that players seeing the ball go in the back of the net is something that you can't fake or replicate, right? And right. So Araújo,
always good for the confidence.
Always good for the confidence. And something I've said before, Araújo getting a full offseason underneath his belt, I am excited for what he's going to do this season. I've gushed about him before in this podcast, and you know, he seems to be looking to hit the ground running. And so I think those are probably my main takeaways. And I did peep that mint. It's definitely not white. So I'm excited, man. I really like, I don't know, I like the idea of this kid. Obviously we have to see what the final design is, but
there's a lot of possibilities with it. What they're going to do, is it going to be more like that Real Madrid kind of third kit that they had, where it's mostly mints, and then some of the other accents are, you know, kind of the more darker greens or whatever. But it'll be kind of fascinating because, there was a shot of Santiago Sosa that he posted on his IG story where he was with Marcelino Moreno, and Marcelino Moreno was wearing the hoodie.
I'm hoping that they got the okay to post those pictures. I'm assuming they did. I just so
it's too late.
Every year, like, one player leaks it.
Something. Franco Escobar, we're looking at you. But in either case, I thought the fullbacks provided a lot of width. McFadden and Gutman, both of them were, I think, varying their service, finding that open space, and really battling, and making some strong tackles as well as interceptions, as well as headers. And so, good kind of two-way performance from the fullbacks. And then, Araújo looks like maybe a guy that wants to be the man, on this team. And exactly. I think he is always available, and he, was a guy that was always trying to make something happen in this match. There was a little bit of that lack of fitness that kind of reared its head of about 10 minutes in, a little bit, where Revolution kind of grew into the match a little bit. But LA United looked in full control. Nothing really bothersome, especially that second half where the first shot on goal was at the 90th minute. So definitely, or 91st minute really. So it's definitely one of those where not really a competition that's like that's gonna test us too much, but it's just a good run out for the preseason. But moving on from that into some transfer rumors, and the first one is Jürgen Damm, who did mention that he has two more years and he intends to honor that contract. And of course he would, because it's a fat ass contract, so why wouldn't he? But Felipe Cardenas, he said that a potential move for Jürgen Damm is imminent per LA United, and so Mexico might be the most likely destination, Cardenas pontificates. So very interesting. You have a player saying one thing, and then the front office saying another. Lo and behold, where have we heard that before?
Business as usual for this team. I do want to clear something up as well, because there were people who were like basically coming on saying, oh, don't criticize Jürgen. Like, I don't think anybody, well, I shouldn't say that. At least for us, we're not necessarily criticizing Jürgen Damm for getting his money. Like, he should absolutely do that.
His agent, should deserve, like, a lot of that. A lot of what he's getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. It's 10%, I think, would be in order. I know that's a hefty amount.
I think more than 10% probably is like...
Okay. You should be that agent. But anyway. But it's just one of those things, though, where you give this player this fat-ass contract, and of course the player's not going to want to give that up, and another team probably doesn't want to pay that, and that's the price of doing business. Yeah. So, it's just like... It's just, you can't. It's an expensive mistake that keeps coming back to haunt you. And you know, we'll see who's telling the truth in terms of Jürgen Damm and his movements.
Right. And so I mean, really, like, I have nothing against Jürgen Damm the person. He seems like a really, really good person. But it's just, yeah, he hasn't performed in an LA United shirt. And yeah, it's high wages. So at this point, you know, we got to cut our losses. And you know, if we had to have to eat a little bit of that contract, that's what we got to do. And you know, free up some of the salary cap for us to be able to maneuver and bring some you know, players in that can really help us and help us win. But yeah, moving on from that, Ezequiel Barco. Well, yeah, there was a lot of rumors over this past week. And so Cesar Luis Merlo, he reported that, yeah, basically there was a move that, you know, not only like River Plate was wanting to come in for him for a 2-year loan, but yeah, it pretty much that, yeah, he went down there for a medical, and while River Plate pretty much announced it, like, I mean, and that's, yeah, they didn't announce the numbers, but Merlo did say that it was going to be $7 million for 50% of his rights. And so, yeah, that the deal is done. It has been announced on one end, but Darren Eales, during the broadcast for excuse me, the Georgia Revolution match, basically said that it's not fully complete yet, so maybe there's still some fees that they're still working out. But yeah, this is the second one that's you know, in terms of a player being announced by their club that either they're coming from or going to, and then United have not announced it yet. And so what do you think is going on?
Oh man, so like we've seen this with Almeida, right? And we'll get to him in a second, but where they announced that he's leaving, but you know, that's one thing. Like, he hasn't actually left yet, though. Barco, it appears, is in Argentina. He's
there's put on video the of him there. Yeah. He's pictured with the you know, their front office, taking photos, signing the contract. He's in their shirt.
He's literally been announced. Like, yeah. He's not coming back. Like, Barco's not coming back. It would be ridiculous, silly at this point if he came back. So. Yeah. He's out the door. I'm assuming, like, the only thing that, as you said, with that transfer, the only details I imagine is, you know, dotting the I's, crossing T's, that sort of thing. Now, linked with this transfer is Thiago Almeida, right? And so, you know, recording this on Sunday, news of the day in the football world is the Mason Greenwood thing. Perhaps you've heard of it. If you haven't, I would just say trigger warning when you go to look it up. It's a really ugly situation.
Very disheartening.
Beyond disheartening. The reason, exactly. The reason why I bring this up, though, in regards to LA United and Almeida, is because I think there are serious questions as to what Manchester United knew in that case and how long did they know. And so we go back to a week and a half ago, Darren Eales saying that Atlanta United is doing all this due diligence with Almeida. We really need to know. I mean, you know, it's not even that. We need to know that the club knows what's going on, like, once and for all. And, you know, like, there hasn't been an update on the case, right? So it's still unclear at best. And it's just, I cannot say this enough. It's just, I really don't think it's wise to be trying to sign a player with a case hanging over his head and you don't know the details of it. Like, this could really, like, end up having a huge blowback on Atlanta United. And that's not, like, that's obviously not the main thing. The main issue here is, you know, any potential victims and you know, that end of it. But, like, I just think we're playing with fire. And so I'm just... You know, with that news today, it just we need clarity on this situation.
Yeah, and definitely, if speaking on that Greenwood situation, if anyone does feel like they're in a you know, hopeless situation, definitely, you know, there are people that you know, are going through the same things, unfortunately, and you know, there are kind of organizations that you can reach out to in order to, you know, be heard and know that, yeah, you know, you can, you know, stick up for yourself and, you know, find some sort of way out of a really, really terrible situation for yourself. And so definitely, yeah, you know, thoughts go out to, yeah, Greenwood's ex-girlfriend in that sense, and also, you know, any potential victims in any of these cases here. But, yeah, back to, you know, in terms of Barco and Almeida, well, it's, you know, one's clearly left the club because there isn't space in the salary structure for Barco, and then Almeida coming in. Yeah, like this NFL due diligence that they've said, like, has there been NFL level due diligence in the past from LA United? I mean, I'm hoping that they're more just like learning their lesson versus like showing that they've had examples of this. Because what, like, we're looking at Gabriel Heinze, where, you know, was that NFL level due diligence? So yeah, you know, definitely something that you know, we need to, I think, start to rectify and rectify, you know, immediately, really, in that sense. But moving on to another transfer rumor, in that George Bello, oh man, this one's a little mini saga in one day, really.
Yeah, this is not one transfer rumor. This is
this is multiple reports, and all in the span of one day, really. It's like
we got a week's worth of update in one day. Yeah, like, one freaking day.
Yeah, yeah, basically. I mean, I had some other things to do yesterday, but it was it was a lot at once, and you know, that's what I do for you guys, just so you know. But but either way, so it starts with George Bello with Fabrizio Romano saying that Cercle Bruges, they have come in for him for a, I believe, $3.75 million fee plus a sell-on clause, and that there was an agreement reached. But, yeah, and that Bello wanted a chance to move to Europe immediately. But, yeah, the talks were ongoing on personal terms. And he said, here we go soon, possibly. Well, au contraire, basically, a lot of American journalists pretty much chimed in a sense, and that they said the Bello situation far from done, that the player wants a move to Bundesliga side Arminia Bielefeld, and that was reported by Grant Wall. And then, so, yeah, you know, in that sense, you know, well, Bello, his contract ends on July 1st. And so, yeah, he could already sign a pre-contract with another team. He could just leave on a free. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, like, very much Bello has the power here. And it's kind of in that sense where, you know, the offer, though, from Bielefeld, was only $600,000. With a low sell-on fee, and that was from Paul Tenorio. And so, yeah, you know, definitely not as good of an offer, I would say, as the 3.75. But, yeah, Felipe Cardenas also reported that LA United had turned down multiple $4 million offers for George Bello, you know, whether in this transfer window or maybe previous transfer windows. But either way, you know, that fee just keeps getting chipped down, and it's not as attractive anymore. Well, yeah, you know, when you're holding out and then a contract is running down, well, yeah, you know, it's it pretty much shows that, well, yeah, you know, Bello pretty much had the pick of, like, you know, what he wanted to do. And you know, in this sense, Romano and Joe Patrick, they both confirmed that yeah, LA United did agree to terms late Saturday night with Arminia Bielefeld. And yeah, basically that it would be a $2 million fee with a 25% sell-on clause. So, you know, definitely a little bit better. I would say, yeah, definitely like four times around, around four times better than what initially was pitched. So, you know, I think if you're looking at straight up numbers, okay, sure, a little low, but definitely much better than what it was before. But also, Eels said that, yeah, Bello, that situation, you know, it's not quite done yet, but it's almost there. But they're trying to do right by the player and by the club, of course. And, yeah, you know, all that being said, what do you think? I mean, you know, a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack. That's exactly what I was going to say. And so, yeah, and I want to be clear about this, too, because, again, this is going to cast Bocanegra in the spotlight. I don't think this is an easy situation, right? And so, Bello, let's say, for example, they turned down offers for Bello over the past year. I'm not sure if selling Bello, you know, how we would have felt about it back then, especially for $3 to $4 million, you know, like on the cusp of 2021 or even in the middle of 2021. I don't know, like that may have been a tough sell, I think, for the team. And then what do you do then? Do you recall Gutman halfway through the loan, you know, when he's established and doing well? And so I think it seems like they did want to wait to this point. But then buying teams there did what they're going to do, which is a low ball Atlanta United. And so I think what it ends up being is a test of Bocanegra's, you know, ability to negotiate and a test of his relationships, right? And so in dealing with other clubs and their executives, does he have that cachet? You know, if he did, if they were able to get Bielefeld up from 600K to 2 million, 2 million plus 25% sell on, okay, that's actually not bad, you know, like all things considered.
And then, one has to think if that Circle Bruges offer was maybe more to, you know, kind of move up that offer from Bielefeld, because yeah, there's also that where you know, there's some aspects of it where Bello, if he did go to this side, you know, Bruges, where yeah, you know, they're a young side, but they have also two other left backs on their team. You know, they're like, I believe, seventh in the Belgian division. And then meanwhile, you know, you have Bielefeld as a, you know, I think 14th in Bundesliga right now, where, you know, it's maybe they're not as competitive in their league, but, you know, you play against bigger sides. You play against, I think, much stronger competition on a regular basis. So I think, you know, there is that aspect of it that is to be considered as well. But go on.
And that's the thing, yeah, like players have to be strategic. At the end of the day, it's their careers, right? Like Atlanta United is not going to guide George Bello's career from here on out. He's got to do that for himself. And so, and I certainly don't blame George Bello for rejecting a move and holding out for a destination that he thinks is best for him. And, you know, again, I think that's a test of in that case, Bocanegra's relationships with the player. And the front office relationships with the player in general. Now, I do think that in the end, they did the right thing. You know, which is, and I think that doing right by the player is key in this. One of the funny things about all this Bello talk is that it invited the USMNT's Twitter onto Atlanta United. You know, and you
just
the usual
utter nonsense being spewed.
The usual utter nonsense that comes from that sector of Twitter, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, it's just funny that at the beginning of the year, right, these people were getting on the United's case for not letting Bello and Miles Robinson go with Jason Kreese, right? With the U23s and how they're holding back his career and stunting their development and blah, blah, blah. And now one is going to Bundesliga and one is starting versus Canada in the World Cup qualifier. Like,
exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly. That's happening now. Which, by the way, yes, that's that other bit of news that Miles Robinson did make the starting 11 against Canada in a very crucial match that's being played today, pretty much currently while we're recording this. But
unfortunately, good guys are down 1-0 at the moment. But
oh,
yeah.
Shoot. But either way, it's one of those things where, yeah, okay, so yeah. you know, okay, there is this aspect of, okay, is Boca and the front office, you know, doing right by the players on a general basis? Not so much all the time, but right. I think, you know, when they're looking out for the best interest of the club, I mean, I think it's in that sense of, like, it actually does make sense. It's like, why did we hold Robinson and Bello back from the U23's camp? Because, yeah, we had our own camp going on, and we needed to, you know, get going with a new coach. So it's something that, yeah, you know.
In Champions League, which starts earlier than the season, as we know. Like, come exactly. on.
Yeah, there was, like, yeah. Why would we have sacrificed our preparation for the preparation of the U.S. men's national team, who still have
U23s
and U23s, exactly. It's like, but those who didn't see that thread, because he started blocking people and, like, basically, you know, pretty much backtracking on a lot of the things that he was saying. But one of those things was that he thought that Carlton was a better player than Barco and Yamil Assad, and that Chris Gosselin should have had more playing time, and that, yeah, numerous other non-salient arguments that pretty much nullified anything he was talking about, because it showed that, yeah, he doesn't actually pay. It's basically just a lot of hatred being spewed at Atlanta United, you know, and there are other clubs that also do this as well, and it's not just the U.S. men's national team. Yeah, the sense of nationalism here, I think, is something that, you know, we won't maybe get into too hard, but it is something that's like, yeah, you just got to think about it from the club side. Like, the club, you know, they need to, like, they're protecting their assets here versus, yeah. you know, like, but go ahead.
No, it's not that. I mean, I was just agreeing with you pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
it's just insane. And, so either way, it's kind of just hilarious to that degree. Mm-hmm. But to circle back all the way back to Bello and mm-hmm. him going to Bielefeld, yeah, I think it's this. Like, him leaving for this side for $2 million in this window, I think in a COVID-depressed market, unfortunately, it's what makes the most sense. Like, yeah. You know, like, I don't think... we've really flubbed it too hard, per se. If mm-hmm. we did, you know, reject offers for $4 million in this window, well, you know, that sucks. But yeah. At the end of the day, do we really need the money?
Right.
Not really, you know, right. like, and the right. fees that come in don't really help us in that regard for creating more cap space anyway, you know, so it's just like.
Love the rules.
Right, so the $2 million,
yeah,
for Arthur Blank is really a drop in the bucket. So,
like, I would say the $600K looks bad more than anything else, right? Yes. It's the optics of the matter, because it, and I think that, like, if I were another MLS team with young players coming through, I would be annoyed if a big MLS team took $600K for one of theirs, right? So, I think there's that aspect of it. But yeah, to every other point you made, I think you're completely spot on, because I think the big key here is doing right by the player. Like, we've seen this with Aaron Long, most recently Kellen Acosta, Paul Arriola, players who are basically like, hey, they did not do right by me, and unfortunately, yeah, like. Yeah, like, they're disgruntled openly, and unfortunately, it's a part of U.S. soccer culture, both in MLS and NWSL. And so I think that I think it makes sense for Atlanta United to set a good precedent in that regard. And because, you know, it's this, like, with Miggy, like, it was a coup to get him here, right? Like, he was easily one of the best players to ever grace MLS. He was more than likely always going to go to Europe. Somebody like Bello going to Europe, I think, is more of a win. More of a, I think, a good reflection of the club itself and its process. Because, I mean, like, it wasn't always smooth, right? There were definitely ups and downs, but the fact of the matter is, he's going to a Bundesliga club, and he's going to have the chance to show what he can do at a pretty young age.
Yeah, and at a good level where that league has a history of developing American players. So, definitely something great. Something not so great is that Greg Berhalter, according to Sam Stechgall, and it has since been confirmed, that Brooks Lennon has been sent back to Atlanta due to an ankle injury. And of course, you know, you get flashbacks of Miles Robinson and his injury with, you know, Berhalter's camp. But definitely one of those things where, yeah, a lot of people are pissed. A lot of fans are in outrage at Berhalter. Because I think, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not only our players that get injured, but I mean, yeah, you know, this is the second one. And yeah, you know, I think there's also a reason why Atlanta United are going to withhold their players from their camps sometimes. Because, yeah, you know, like, you send them back injured, like, too often. Well, yeah, you know, it starts to kind of screw up roster construction, especially right. In a league where there's such limited resources to so many things. Like, yeah, you're going to be a little miffed. And, yeah, you're going to be a little bit, you know, handcuffed by the actual league structure itself. So, you know, I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, I will say in this case, definitely, it's not, obviously, it's not quite the same as Miles. Like, Brooklyn is not quite as important as Miles Robinson, for one. It seems like, I think, Doug Roberson or somebody who was there reported that he wasn't in a boot, wasn't on crutches. So that's a positive sign, at least. You know, and hopefully this is a precautionary matter where, yeah, you know, like, he just didn't look right, or he felt a little something, and Berhalter, did the precautionary move of just sending him back. And, you know, it's, hopefully this doesn't disrupt his preseason too much. He still has 4 weeks to recover. You know, we have Ronald Hernandez there. Aiden McFadden seems to be showing his stuff. So, yeah, ultimately, like, I'm not too worried about it yet. If this is something that keeps reoccurring, then, you know, then I might get upset. But I think in this case, Berhalter may have done the right thing, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully, and... Yeah, you know, I want some details and how this happened to begin with. I mean, sure. You know, sure, it might just be like a roll of the ankle that happens all the time.
Right. But,
or if it was a strong tackle from a teammate, well, then I'm going to have some some words. Which teammate?
Just want to come outside.
Exactly. I just want to talk, man. But anyway, so that is it for the news and pretty much the entire episode, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you feel like we need to bring in a veteran backup striker? We still haven't done so. And yeah, we have some Albatross contracts still on the wages. So yeah, definitely let us know in the comments below what you think about that. And anything that we talked about in this episode, of course, as well. What'd you think of the first preseason match that you could watch? Definitely get us and add us in those comments below. And that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already. Share this episode and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. And for Mark, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.